So I would like to learn to share my faith. I would like to learn to share my faith, right? Is that what you said to your neighbor? Is that true? Would you like to do that? Okay. Me too. We are learning. Wow. Great. So, Father, thank you for every listening ear this morning, for your Spirit here to reveal your Son to our hearts and teach us, because we would like to open our mouths and make just to experience your presence in life, in conversation, in listening, and in knowing you. Bless our summer as we learn to share our faith and share love and wisdom. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Well, it is 4th of July tomorrow. That is our nation's birthday. As we, in the beginning, in 1776, and then a young man, 33 years old, Thomas Jefferson, wrote the Declaration of Independence. And it was sent to Britain, and there was a declaration of war. And we fought a civil war for about 8 years. And basically no military victory in one sense, except they just couldn't catch us. George Washington, the fox, would slip away from their attacks and efforts to control and govern. So they wisely gave up on us, and we became an independent nation with a spiritual foundation, with a group of people that were Christians that came from Europe, some of them persecuted for their faith. A period from England, 1620 to 1640, ship after ship, persecuted evangelical Puritans that came to Massachusetts and New York and started to live and practice, were practicing and living, and through our history have had spiritual revivals. Amazing. Our history is important to us because not only our idea about freedom and independence and the value of an individual and his freedom to decide for himself, but also the Spirit of God behind it, which led our leaders into wisely defining a government that would be for the people and by the people. So we have a history. Just now, as we look at our country, we are deeply concerned. Franklin Graham, who I have a lot of respect for, will be having some prayer meeting in Annapolis, I think, what time? About October 11th. And if I'm here, I would like to join him and to be in that prayer. The point is that God has, by your new birth, given you a hunger and a desire for righteousness. By our new birth, we are drawn to Christ. We want to hear about him. We want to know about Jesus Christ. We want to know, what did he say? We want to know what he did. We want to know who he is. Because by virtue of our new birth, we have a new nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We all have some kind of a dark past, a proud past, an immoral past. And Jesus came so that that past would not govern our life on anymore. There be no more regret, no fear, no guilt, but that he would govern our life by the Holy Spirit. He said, I go to the Father, and he will send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will make you a witness of me. We talk about him. We are a witness of Jesus. We are making Jesus known in the world and amongst ourselves. When we go to church, we go to a church where we can hear about Christ and hear what the Bible says. We want to know what are the brothers and sisters saying and doing by faith. We are interested in another life, not our old life, but we would like to know about God's life in us, uncreated life, life not by biological life, but spiritual life. And this is what we are growing in. I have a three-point message this morning. The first one is you. It's about your growth in Christ, your life. Very much we care about your growth in Christ. Very much. Though we don't spend a lot of time sitting at a table talking to each other. Basically, there's a pulpit and congregation, and we are listening to a message that we pray will be from the Holy Spirit and from the Bible, and it will speak to my heart. Because this is the body of Christ. But we also care about your personal growth. When you walk out of here, how do you live? What's in your heart? What are you growing in? Is God helping you, answering your prayer? Is God comforting you in hard times? Is God speaking to you? So we sell booklets in the cafe here, right here at the bookstore. We have messages free of charge online. We have conferences. We meet. We have phone calls, counseling sessions, all kinds of different Bible college, all kinds. And because we care about the believer being blessed of God, and growing in God, and learning who God is, and being used by God. What I want to share with you today has to do with your growth, real changes happening in your life, real direction that comes from God. So, point number two, I'd like you to turn with me to Acts chapter 8, please. Acts chapter 8. I think before we read it, I need you to turn to Proverbs 22. I think that might be the better order. Proverbs 22. And before we read that, I'll tell you a short story. Paul Boucher is one of our brothers here who serves for decades. He's an awesome servant, and he takes the church van and goes to Middle River and Essex, and he picks up people and brings them here. I met a gentleman the other day at Sam's Club parking lot just down the road. where there's Walmart there and so on. And I was sitting out front just looking at people, praying for them and seeking. I was looking for somebody to talk to share something with them from the Lord, sharing love, sharing faith, and talking. So I met this man. His name was Israel, and his son, Israel. And he spoke good English. They were from Mexico. He spoke good English. I invited him. I got his phone number. I called Paul Boucher. I said, could you pick up this man at his house? He doesn't have a car. I met him at Sam's Club. He was taking a taxi, but he said he would like to come. So he may be here. I'm not sure. Or came this morning. Paul said, I said, how are you doing? He said, it's interesting. This young man on the street, his mother came out. I was picking up young men to bring here to the church. His mother came out and said, are you like a big brother? And Paul said, I'm doing this for the church, bringing these young guys and girls to the church to hear the word. And she said, could you take my son? He needs it. And his father is a Muslim, and he is a Muslim, but he really needs, and they had a talk, and he said, sure, and brought him, and he loves it here. And the Sunday school, by the way, which is about 500 children every Sunday morning, is being taught by our people who are very caring and dedicated to this work. And Paul and I talked on the phone. I gave him the number and so on. And I was very interested to hear about a young man who's in trouble, who is getting help. And the purpose of our talk this morning is to think about the people that are around us and who we are, what has happened in our life. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 17 and 18. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. They shall be fitted in your lips. Hearing the words of the wise, coming to the church and hearing a message from the Bible, being with friends who have some spiritual life going on in their heart and in their mind, they are reading these things, meditating, thinking on them, practicing them. And if I could be with those people, they will help me have these words fitted in my lips. Because to be honest, sometimes the word goes in my understanding, but for it to get also into my heart and into my lips, this is what produces a communicator. Somebody who needs an answer to their problem, question. You become a messenger. And we see it happening a lot in the Bible, particularly with Christ. It seems when Christ met somebody, when it was a divine appointment, of course Christ met a lot of people and they walked past him. Had little to do with him, were not attracted to him, never listened to him. He said that, your ears are heavy, Isaiah 6. It'll be given unto you according to how you hear, Mark 4, 23. But then there were those times when you just could recognize that he looked, he saw. In Luke 19, Zacchaeus was a rich man, little guy, but a smart guy, a get-it-done type of guy. You saw Jesus come, but because of the crowd, he was short and the crowd is there. He couldn't see him, and he wanted to see him. So he made a calculation on the route he was going, went, ran ahead, got in a tree, and Zacchaeus was a seeker. Question. Are there people around us at work, around us in Sam's Club or Walmart parking lot, or are there people at the athletic field or club, health club, or are there people around us that are riding motorcycles and hanging out in a flea market and so on, the coffee shops that are seeking? That's, you know, what a good question. Are they seeking? Are there people that are saying, I've done it. I know politics. I'm on the news. I hear Rush Limbaugh or some other commentator. I know the football, the soccer, the sports. I know money and finances and the EU and all that stuff. But this guy, I want to see him. He runs ahead, gets up in the tree, and Jesus walking by stops. Because it says, Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek. So you have two seekers. The one in the tree is seeking, and the one on the ground is seeking. And they find each other. And he says, come down, because I have a message that is fitted in my lips. I have something that I have learned that I can share. I have something that I have been through in my life. I have had heartache and been healed. I have been confused, but now believe. I have lacked faith, but now I have faith. I have something to say to you. I hope it would help you. And this is what happened. And after, when Jesus ate lunch and the whole thing, salvation came to his house, and Jesus said that he came for this reason. And then he says in John 20, so I send you. I send you. Now turn to Acts with me, please, chapter 8. And we have the common man, Philip. Many believers say, okay, Jesus was Jesus, but I'm not Jesus. But you are like Philip. Philip was not an apostle. Philip was simply a believer. And he was like you and I, with wisdom fitted in our lips. So, verse 26 of chapter 8. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. There's many things to say about this. Has anybody here woken up in the morning and an angel is sitting at the end of your bed and said, listen, I want you to go to Philadelphia this afternoon? I don't think so. But something very similar to that happened in this story. And I just want to suggest to you, and I want to encourage you, that don't limit your life simply to what you know. And don't just live in the confines of what makes you comfortable. But be available to God and say to God, God, I want to get outside of myself. And I want to be reaching out, helping to reach these young people and these rich people. Sometimes rich people, we are afraid to talk to them. They drive a nice car. They only hang out with a certain circle. But wouldn't it be amazing if you went right into their world and shared and listened and talked? And the Spirit used you. It happened to me one time in Finland. There was a well-dressed man on Christmas Eve with a navy blue cashmere coat. I never forget it. Tall, handsome man, professional looking. I went up to him Christmas Eve. I said, Merry Christmas. I'm out here to tell you that Jesus came. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. And the man took the paper, looked at it, and he said, could you come to my house after Christmas? I said, sure. So a couple of weeks later, I went there. Beautiful home. His wife, two kids. We talked. Sadly, about 15 years later, I saw him on the street, homeless, alcoholic, face all swollen, on the streets of Helsinki. Incredible story. Rich people that are in their houses drinking with broken hearts need you and me to talk about something deep that is in our hearts and fitted in our mouths. One man of God, Gordon, said, we have Bibles bound in Moroccan leather, bound in all kinds of beautiful leather. What we need is the Bible bound in shoe leather. That is exactly the teaching of our Lord. After the disciples had received the Holy Spirit, they became witnesses to Jesus. Their lives spoke more eloquently than their lips, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It's not only knowing, but it's knowing. When you know, really, you can't mess up in your communication. When you know, you have something to say. It doesn't have to be a lot of words. Let's see, I have a little piece from Oswald Chambers. It says, our Lord was never impatient. He simply planted seed thoughts in their minds, surrounded them with the atmosphere of his own life. He did not attempt to convince them, but left mistakes to correct themselves, because he knew that eventually the truth would bear fruit in their lives. How differently we would have acted. We get impatient, take men by the scruff of the neck, and say, you must believe this and that. You cannot make a man see moral truth by persuading his intellect. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. In this story, Philip is given a mission. He's sent. So are you. We are sent. Point number one in our message, I want to see your growth. Point number two, God is with you and putting wisdom in your heart and in your mouth, and God has sent us. We are on a mission. Right here in the streets of Baltimore. A Christian can go anywhere without fear when he's on a mission. When God is with us, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Go and teach and preach all things that I have commanded you. Jim Pierce has a group down at the gym every Saturday, 60 young men, 50, 60, sometimes 80 young men from the city of Baltimore playing basketball for 3 hours, loving it, and he gives the message and he shares with them. That's a program, but more than a program. Our prayer is the Holy Spirit sowing seed in the hearts of these men. Wow. Look at the story here, verse 27. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Oh, how fun it is when suddenly somebody says to you, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. I've been waiting. I want to talk to you. I have a question for you. And you pull your chair up a little closer to the table. What is it? Oh. We had one of our Hungarian brothers was a border guard in Hungary. True story. Down near Serbia. These two crazy American guys, they weren't from our church, but apparently something like us. And they were came to the border, jumped out of the car to take pictures. They say, you know, we're Christians, and they take photos and everything, and then they drive away across the border, and they're gone. That planted a seed in a border guard. Who are these people? Why are they having so much fun? They're crazy. I want to know who they are. I want to know who these people are. They said they are Christians. Who are they? Well, in time, I don't know the time, a year or two, one of our people was on a train, and this border guard was on the train. Ola Tomas was his name. And he said, he saw this greater grace believer. I think I know who it was, but I'm not sure. I won't say it. I got to talk to you. Who are you? Like, what do you, who are you? And then he told him, I'm born again Christian. Why are you asking? Well, I met these crazy guys at the border. They're taking pictures, and it's illegal to do it, but they don't care. And they're going through the, and I see their joy and honesty and transparency, and they love me for something. I don't know. Who are they? Are you like them? Yeah. Yes, I am. That's it. That's who you are. You and I are messengers and ministers of the mysteries of Christ. Our life isn't just easy to figure out. And actually, I don't want my life to be a life that you can figure out. I would like the mystery of Christ to rest upon me. And I would like to meet somebody who is seeking for the same thing. I know that when you go fishing, 100 fish can swim past the hook, and that's too bad. But when there is one, you rejoice in it. You come running home with a fish like this, and your mother says, where's the 100 fish that swam past? Oh, Mom, who cares about those? Look at what I got. Look, Mom. What I have. These encounters with people are valuable to them. It's changing their life. It's food for the hungry. This salvation gift changes them. They turn from death unto life, from Satan unto God. They turn to like just like the foolishness and emptiness of life without God to actually knowing God and realizing who God is and who Christ is. And they just cannot thank you enough. Thank you for showing up at the parking lot seeking the seekers, seeking the empty. The lowly. I saw a woman yesterday with a bath at the parking lot with a pajama gown that you get at the hospital. You know, you tie it in the back, and the garment. And she had something on underneath it, but the garment was so filthy. I don't know if she was mentally sick or what her situation was. I saw people that are just waiting for cabs, and you know how it is. Life is hard. And I just say, and then some of them reaching out and talking and listening. You and I are called into this world to care. You and I are called to get beyond our circles. You and I are called to be here on a mission. And it's not our mission, it's the Holy Spirit's mission. And you'll find a divine appointment. You'll be right there with a woman at the well. You can't even believe it. And Jesus is not like a track in front of the woman at the well, saying there's four spiritual laws, number one, two, three, four. And he's not a track like that. And I love tracks, and I give them out all the time. And I think they're powerful and they're fantastic, and I believe in that. But he's there asking her questions. She doesn't know him. Why would I expect somebody who doesn't know me to listen to me? But I could ask her. I want to listen to her. What's the most important thing in your life? What are you doing? How many children do you have? Do you have any plans? If she wants to talk, I can ask her questions and she can talk to me. And there'll be an opportunity as we are talking and you're listening, and we are listening to what is happening, for us to sow the seed that is fitted in our lips. How did I get it fitted in my lips? By being around you, by being with wise people, by learning this book, by going to the church. Because if I'm a sower of seed, you know the whole idea of taking seed like this and sowing the seed, right? A sower, then when it's empty, where's the seed going to come from? It says God gives seed to the sower. So I'm sowing, run out, more seed comes in from God. God gives me seed because I'm sowing the seed. I'm out there sowing the seed, caring for others. We have a group that goes to a nursing home. My son Justin was sharing with me a little bit about it. And I've been there with him and the team. Lisa goes, Rita goes. It's amazing, heart-wrenching stories of people that don't have anybody ever visiting them. No relatives, no one cares, nobody visits for years. And that somebody from the church goes. And even they may miss a few weeks and go back and they'll say, I've been waiting for you. You are my best friend. It's like, wow. I am your best friend? It's like, yeah, you are the only one that visits me. I'm waiting for you. Wow. That's called heartache, isn't it? Hunger. Hunger to be loved, hunger to be prayed for, hunger to be told about God. Listen, I may not be here for you, but God is here for you. I cannot meet all your needs, but God can meet your need. You see, the believer is to grow, not get stuck in what we know. But the believer is to increase, and I have three words that I'm sharing. Faith, we grow in our faith, we do it by faith. Look at people by faith, care about people by faith, open our mouth by faith, pray for people by faith. You'll find yourself going to bed at night thinking about people you met in the day and just praying for them. You'll never see them again, probably. You just ran across them during the day, but God has you pray by faith. Number two, wisdom. We need the wisdom to know how to address people's problems and help them in the faith. To share their joy, to help direct them in life, to direct them to the church, direct them to Christ, most importantly, and then direct them to fellowship, direct them to the Bible, direct them to having hope and having love. and what God can do in a life. And then third word, love, increase in love. Maybe don't get offended by this. I like sitting on the couch just as much as anybody, but get off the couch. Get off the couch. Get on the move. Go out beyond our borders and our cells. Get out beyond our circle and our friends and our family and our own people. But throw the net out into the world to China, Croatia, Serbia, 31 cities this summer from here where we're praying and going. Brooklyn, New York, Pastor Sterling. Pastor Love up with the New York Knicks. Here in Baltimore, in our neighborhoods, by faith. Third and last point, results. Let's look at this story, chapter 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join yourself to this chariot. What? Join yourself to this chariot. Go near, join yourself to this chariot. I've never been on a chariot before. I'm not going. I don't know this person. I'm not getting on that train. I'm not getting on that subway. I'm not getting in that taxi. I don't know those people. I'm not going. One time I used to live in Hungary, and my Hungarian language is funny. Anybody could tell you that. It's limited, and I have an accent. One time I was preaching in Hungarian on the street. One guy came up to me and said, are you drunk? I was alone. I went to one of our churches in Hungary, and just by circumstances, we were doing outreaches. It was in Kaposvar, and I like to go to these wherever, you know. And there was a dingy, dark bar room. I ended up being by myself. I ended up in that bar room, a dark, dingy, black place of alcohol and just this by the bus station. So I just start telling everybody in Hungarian language about Jesus and who he is and everything. And I had a group of them, five or six. They were gypsies, actually, if I recall correctly. And they were, it's a minority group in Hungary. So they were gypsies, and I convinced them to follow me across town. And they followed me across town to the church. And I was like little ducklings coming behind me, you know, and I'm just like amazed. Yeah, so it was like, join yourself to this chariot. No, I don't do chariots. I don't talk to drunk people. I'm not out on the street. No, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be wise, but I am saying this can be an adventure of faith. I am saying God may be in it. I am saying somebody's life might be changed because of meeting you and your walk of faith. That's what I'm trying to say. Philip is on a mission, and God is with him. And you don't have to go to China to be on a mission. You can be right here at Sam's Club on a mission. You don't have to go across the world. You can just walk out your door and see the world around you and say, there's something in my heart about my faith, and I can help them with their joy. I can love them in their situation, I can communicate, I can invite them, I can sit down and talk with them. And then so it says in verse 30, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what you read? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I don't know, why is this written in the Bible? Isn't this saying that, listen, in your everyday life, there could be an appointment from God, ordained of God. It could be that that guy will say, come here and talk to me. I want you, what is your message? What do you have to say? Please tell me something. My mother died last year and I can't get over it. Can you tell me something? My brother is a drug addict and it breaks my heart. Can you tell me something? I am afraid I have done bad things in my life. I'm afraid. What can you tell me? This is why we're here. We have something fitted in our lips from our hearts, because wisdom is bound in our heart. It's been given to us. So he did. Verse 32. He said, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. Perfect text for the meeting. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Our country is under attack by unbelief. Our country is under attack by secularism and humanism. Our country is under attack morally by non-traditional ideas. Our world is the way it is, and for us it's okay, because God has sent us here on a mission to do something, to reach somebody, and to share a message that can change their heart. It happened to me, and it's happened to you. And that's why we're so persuaded by this and care about it. The results are fantastic. They are incredible. They are eternal. Don't stop. Don't hold back. Don't change. But if you've never done it, you're not opening your mouth, you're not sharing your faith, and we encourage you this summer to learn to do it and be a seeker and look for the people at the beach, in the cafe, be a seeker at the car mechanic shop, be a seeker at the university, be a seeker at the airport, be a seeker in your town, in your community, in your street that you live, and help me, because I am one of the weaker ones, like you. We can all say, it doesn't matter who, I'm just saying I'm not able, but the Lord can help me in it, and we can open our mouth and make known the mystery of Christ. It may fall like gentle dew. Pastor Shabelli told about a lion in Africa licking the window of the car. The lion has some moisture on the window of the car, and the lion was just licking with his big long tongue the water off the window, and he's saying, I'm hope he only goes so far. You know, people are looking for you and me, and gently, lovingly, caringly, we have something to share. Sit with me, let me talk to you for a good period of time. Maybe God will sow a seed in their heart and give it life, and they'll be born again. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Two prayers, one just for us as a church. Lord, thank you for the great things you have done by the ministry of the word through decades in parts of the world, and for the faithful servants we just shared fellowship with these last 2 weeks, and hearing the stories from around the world of God's grace, God's forgiveness and love. And then for our summer, and for the people that are working hard jobs, they are They go to their work, they get in the car, they go to the store, they come home, they watch TV, they fall asleep, they get back up, they go to work, they go to the store, they go to the church perhaps, we hope so. They fall asleep, they go back to work, and on it goes day after day after day. And no, it's more than that. We're on a mission. Get fresh and refreshed. The church is high priority. Quietly listening, receiving, being fed, reading books, high doctrine booklets, reading the Bible, high priority in our hearts. Quietness, confidence will be our strength. Opening our mouth in due season and perfect timing and the plan. Sharing joy, hope, love with people, and finding the seeker and saying, come with me, come to my house. Meet me in that restaurant tomorrow. Yes, in Jesus' name. I got to tell you this one story. It's very short. It's been a long. But I got to tell you this. I met a guy in the street in Hungary. He said, I don't believe. I said, I believe I can prove it to you in 45 minutes. He said, you cannot. I said, I can. Tomorrow in that restaurant, there was a McDonald's restaurant, Nugati Pia Udvar, if you know where it was in Budapest. At Nugati Pia Udvar, right there at the train station. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, he came. We sat there. Within a half an hour, tears are going down his cheeks, honestly. Every time I go to Hungary, which is every year, he and I sit for a few minutes and we rehearse it. And this is the number I've lost track. 17 years, maybe. It happened 17 years ago. I don't remember, but this next, when I go again, we sit. He does it sacred. He said, because he says it's sacred what happened to me. It's amazing. It changed his life. His name is Frank. And he listens to the messages, so he's probably dancing on the table right now that he's famous. But I got to tell you, that touched my heart because I had no idea. But he was seeking. He was seeking. And he found Christ. And it's more than 17 years ago. Okay. All right, so praise God for that. All right. Then the last prayer. If you don't have Christ in your life today, you must take him. You must say in your heart, I believe. We all know you have you have arguments and reasons and everything, but leap over those by faith and say, I accept Jesus by faith. I come to him by faith. I believe in him by faith. I ask him to show me. And I come as I am, as a sinner, unqualified, unable, but I'm coming to him and believing in him. And God saves you by his grace instantly. Raise your hand here. Anyone saying that prayer of faith, just raise your hand. The ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all, raise your hand. Say yes to Jesus. Anyone at all. Just thank you for that hand over there. God bless you. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's another one over here. Thank you. There's one right there, the red dress. Do you see her? Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, give us a great summer in this life of faith. May we grow in it. At the end of the summer, we're not the same people. Because not only have we heard, but it's been fitted in our lips and we've shared it. And learning to reach out and share this life with others. In Christ's name, amen.